Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Pop Culture Stars. Yes, we are back after a two-week absence. Sometimes real life gets in the way. Nevertheless, we are back, and we are doing well. Hope everybody out there is doing the same. I'll pass it around as I ease out the door. And no, I will not be smoking a cigar from Godfather Cigars or enjoying a malt beverage tonight, because I am just too damn tired to mess with it. Fat kid's got to be up early in the morning, so I am having a cold water. Sure, my liver right now is going, what the hell, it's Wednesday night. Nevertheless, we'll pass it around to my most esteemed panel and brotherhood, starting off in that fantastic city of Indianapolis and the outlying regions where the alpacas roam. Brother Tim, what's up, man?
Well, this is, I've lost count now of how many Wednesdays my liver has gone, what the heck is going on? It used to be a cocktail hour or hours, if you will, for me as well. But everything, as we were talking about in the green room, is warm up here. It definitely, yeah, it hit, what did Todd say, like 101, 102 heat index, something like that. I still wasn't in the pool. I had to go get some running around stuff done. But other than that, it was a nice day. We had a line of storms come through. That's my meteorology report for you. Other than that, unfortunately, I didn't want to get bit by bugs, and I didn't want to smell like bug spray and have to wash it off later, so I'm sitting in my office. But it's a good time. Looking forward to a good show, and that's that.
Outstanding. Good to have you aboard this evening, man. Good to have the group back together after a two-week absence. Definitely good to have everybody aboard this evening as I'm trying to align my thoughts trying to host this damn show tonight. As pooped as I am, I'm telling you, I peed in the sink, was washing my hands in the toilet earlier. I am just so beat. But nevertheless, Tim, always good to have you aboard, brother. So I'm going to kick it across town, or at least ways where I reckon my anchor man and my good brother lurks. In Indianapolis, as of in accordance to the alpaca roaming acreage of Tim's house. Todd, what's going on, man?
Hey, I'm sitting here. I'm just outstanding. It's supernatural. Ecstatic to be here. And, it was definitely ye old dog days of summer kicking in here. And looks like we're going to be soggy for next several days. The Olin life's a trip, and it keeps happening. And it's sometimes I got to remember to roll with it instead of trying to fight the darn tide.
Yeah, I totally hear you there. Yeah, this heat has been. And, you know, when you work outside, the heat is kind of a funny thing. When you have cloud cover, it could be hot, and it doesn't feel hot. I mean, it feels hot, but it doesn't feel like your life force is being extracted from your body. But when there's
when that infrared and ultraviolet kick out on you.
God knows. And I don't care how much cover you have. As a matter of fact, not to get too overly graphic here, but you know, I took the safety
too
pitch.
Late. The phrase is swamp ass, Dave.
Yeah, swamp ass was on the way. I hadn't even started and the swamp ass was there, but I always take the safety piss before I go because I work outdoors and I don't want to be, standing there trying to hold it while I'm working in the whole nine yards. So always take the safety pee before I leave. That was about 8:30 this morning. So we get home. We secure all the equipment. I take a shower, get stuff together, yak, yak, yak. And I go in and I hit the head, and it's, right after 1800, and I stopped and I came out of the bathroom, and I told Rob, I said, I just noticed that's the first pee I have taken since 8:30 this morning. That's how goddamn hot it was, is that every little bit of moisture in my body, none of it turned to bile, none of it turned to pee. It all turned to just like holding my ass together moisture, I guess is what it's called. But yeah, dude, it's if I could just get one cloud in the sky, I'd be in tall cotton. But when it's, when you're out in the flat and there is no cloud cover at all, geez, us, it's something to behold.
Yeah, and you barely have, you're still sitting there at 81 at the moment. You barely have any wind.
Yeah, it's,
I'll put
it's
in perspective
right now,
for you here. I've had a marathon fire going since Saturday. We've kept it going. So when I'm at work, Kim's been putting stuff on it. Well, this is the second rain that we've had come through. And, I mean, it rained pretty good for a few minutes. The fire's still going. I didn't have to do anything to it. So I know there's other factors in play in there, but gives you a little bit of an idea of how little effect the dampness has into play when it's this freaking hot out.
Yeah,
that wasn't,
man,
the neighbor's meth lab that you set on fire, was it?
I think we're, although I wouldn't be surprised if that were going on around somewhere close to me, not on this road.
The word of the day is accelerant. Wow, how'd you get the pile light up that quick? Accelerant. Well, what'd you use? Accelerant. Don't ask. Just accelerant. Okay? Leave it at that. Oh,
oh
man. I'm telling you.
All right.
So. On to
no, let's
topic.
Quit fussing about the heat. I had something, man, and it just kind of struck me the other morning. We were in a morning meeting call, and as we wait for everybody to get there, somebody had referenced, they had a VIP on deck, and she goes, so we're all spick and span and ready for them to come through and do their thing. And it clicked, and I was like, Sharon, said, do they still sell spick and span? And you could hear the wheels start turning. And this is a phone conference, and it's covering some geography. We'll just leave it there. I think we have one of the people that call in does call. So we were east to west coast on the call. And you just hear that. They're like, man, I got to Google this. I'm checking Amazon. I'm checking. And then you hear someone go, what's spick and span? And it's like, well, crap. You just don't see the generations on the call. And so the other part that twigged me on that is we knew exactly what that meant. And here was a cleaning product that come to have its own phrasing of meaning in maybe yesteryear's everyday parlance, but just thought it was kind of neat. And yes, apparently they now make a liquid spick and span based on the results of the people searching during the phone call.
I tell you what, spick and span was no joke back in the day for those of us that came up in the grocery business. That, and I don't know if you remember Top Job. You remember Top Job? It was green.
I do. And it had
that
nothing to do with James Bond.
No, that stuff with
Odd Job. That was Odd Job.
That was Odd Job. And then there's plenty of other jobs, but that's for a different show with a higher rating. But, yeah, Top Job wasn't no joke, and it smelled good. It smelled good as shit.
And that's
yeah,
a phrase that makes no sense.
Smelled good as shit. Well, it just depends. I mean, if the Easter Bunny takes a dump, you got to wonder if his poop smells a little better than the average bunny.
I like how
he's the Easter Bunny.
It depends.
Yes. That's right. What does old people, what does old people's poop smells like? Hemp. Nothing like them good old second grade jokes. I'm telling you, they never get old. Oh, geez.
Yeah, yeah.
So, tonight's topic. Here we go. You know, with all the monkey business going on in the world right now, you've got to kind of stand back, especially here in the United States. You got to kind of stand back, and you're thinking to yourself, you know, how in the hell are we in the situation we're in right now? How are things happening as they are? And if you start looking around, there's an awful lot of strange things going down that make you wonder, you know, take for instance like the gas. And it's real easy to get focused on the gas. I understand that. Because to get to work, you need gas. And when you make $10 an hour and the gas is $5 a gallon, there becomes a logical where you got to sit down and actually do the math and decide whether it's actually doable to work or become a ward of the damn state. So, and most of us with a fair upbringing have been told, no, you don't do that. You always have to work for your money. You always have to put the best foot forward. Well, sometimes the best foot forward isn't the most intelligent damn solve for the situation, unfortunately. So when you start doing a digger or a deeper dig on some of the stuff that's going around, you gotta wonder what is afoot. And it doesn't really matter which side of the aisle you are on. And to be honest with you, I think that's where our former president, Donald Trump, ran into some rough seas, is the fact that he was blowing the smoke away from the facade of American politics. So where is all this at? You got to stop and think. And a good example is Pelosi last week, despite her going over there and antagonizing the shit out of the Chinese this week.
I tell you right now, I guarantee you there were people on their equal thoughts of energy being put in. One side saying, please don't let it happen. The other side saying, please let it happen. That, you know, all the threats to shoot her plane down on that. And the thought was, that shit, she got to have been thinking, at least somewhere in her little brain housing group, if she can have a coherent thought, that if, please let them shoot me down, because at that point, I'll become a hero and they won't really analyze my legacy.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, that there proves a point, Todd. What I'm getting at is that there's a certain amount of, how do I want to put it? There's a more nefarious thing going on with American politics right now. And I genuinely feel like, and again, I'll say both sides of the aisle, because there are other ones out there in the red that are just as guilty of doing this. But it's almost like the elitist thing. They've got to keep
almost
the American. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's a definite thing. And that's why they get so worked up. Take, for instance, when the meme stocks hit and people got on, like myself, people got on Robinhood and started investing in stocks and were actually making a return. Well, wait a minute. We can't have regular people doing that. And, you know, if you recall, they raised all kinds of hell about them doing that. But in the meantime, last week, Pelosi went out and bought up a bunch of damn, or what, did she sell it or buy it? Her husband.
Her husband bought it.
Yeah. Ahead of a report. So you can't help but wonder if he had, what was it, the Trading Places, Clarence Beeks with the orange crop to the Duke brothers. So, you know, when you look at the American politician, you got to wonder, if you look at the gas price and you look at the fact that they're going around buying up all these houses right now, they're buying up farms. That's what Bill Gates is doing right now. Bill Gates ain't even screwing with computers no more. Bill Gates is buying up cattle. He is buying up cattle farms as we speak. All right? So if you stop the thing, and the government is buying up the houses, and they're buying up food sources, and they're controlling the gasoline flow, guess what they've done? I don't care how hard you work, but they've pretty much put you in a knot to where you're more or less at their mercy. So what I'm getting at is there something deeper in American politics where they're trying to get it to where we don't expect more? Where we get out of the habit of saving money up and taking our children to Disney, or saving our money up and buying an RV, or perhaps the home of our dreams. Does the United States government, both sides of the aisle, want to get it to the point where they have ultimate control and say, okay, well, here's a house you can live in, and here's food you can eat, and here's gas. See, we gave you everything. We gave you everything. What else could you ask for? The problem is that you can never make your own mind up. You can never eat what you want to eat, or live where you want to live, or go where you want to go. And that's how they keep you wrangled in place. And it keeps them in their elitist category, because they never have to worry about almost any of us common folk climbing out of the hole. So, I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you guys think it's just something that's a little, it's me wearing a tinfoil hat, or do you think it's something that's actually in play and they're just keeping quiet about it?
I think there's puppet masters to a degree in certain places, certain spots, soils types. There's definitely, there's people that have, that they went to Congress with good intentions and all that kind of stuff. And I just think, you ever seen the movie The Attack of the Mushroom People? It eventually gets all of them.
Oh, really? All right,
it's really old, and it just goes on, and ultimately it was caused by eating a particular mushroom. So if you drink the Kool-Aid, if you will, you become infected. I think there's some of that, because you got folks who have gone in there, were part of it, and never tried to do it. We've seen some of the skillful manipulation, read the books where somebody figured out they did something bad and they had no idea they were doing it, or the movies or whatever. There's some of that going on. And there's people that know some of this stuff that are just, I think there's some willful blind eyes. They know that they can make an ass load of money. Picking up poor Nancy Pelosi, her husband buys all these stocks, and she's working legislation. Huh.
Right.
It's, I mean, that to me, that's you know, that may not be higher level. That may be just pure line my own damn pockets. Just saying.
Yeah.
Timmy's, what you think?
Oh, I don't know. When it comes to politics, I kind of have my overall opinions of how it kind of all works. I don't really have any specific thoughts on any platforms of whatever. I think that there's some stuff that it's kind of like, dare I compare it to this, but it's kind of like, think of, you know, our minds. If you think of like an animal, like a cat or a dog, they don't have any concept of things that we do. And just like us, our brains in the grand scheme of things are so small, we have zero idea what it's all about. The concept that space goes on forever, mind-blowing. You know, life after death, mind-blowing, things like that. And what I'm getting at is, as a whole, I think people are stupid. Not to say that politicians aren't, because I think they're the dumb of the dumb, if you will. But with that, I think there's a lot of things that are kept hush-hush, not necessarily because it's bad, so to speak. I just think it's for the greater good, like it people don't need to know it. And I think that because it just starts there and it's a ripple effect, and things that are meant to be covered up turn into lies, turn into more lies. And I think it affects both sides. I'm not really a political person at all. I think the entire system is so screwed up. Think of all the money that goes into, and I don't know if it was this podcast that I vomited all over about this concept, or if it was other folks that were unfortunate enough to hear me rant about it, but kind of like the whole, when they have the, when it's election time, think of all the millions of dollars that are just dumped in by people donating money.
Oh, yes.
You know, to politicians, because they have an agenda.
And,
so,
and it's no longer, by the way, it is no longer strictly within our shores money.
Oh, sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's fucking, what the hell?
You know, and it's like, I don't mean to put myself on a pedestal. I can't do that. I'm not like some kind of person who's got the overall concept and everybody else is just an idiot. I'm not trying to put that out there at all. But it's just kind of like, if you really are to stand back and take an overall look. And I remember in a couple of college, like humanities courses, when they start talking about the nickels and dimes that are spent in other countries and compare it to our country, I think we spend more money in garbage bags, so items to put our trash. We spend more money on garbage bags than India does on, like, everything, if you were to look at an annual comparison. I don't have the source.
Right.
I don't know. It's something I was told by a professor, so, you know, I can't back that myself personally. But so, you know, it's things like there's that. So if you look at, like, underdeveloped countries where people don't stand a damn chance to live, it's weird, and when I was talking about the humanities thing, I remember reading there were a bunch of weird statistics about if you just took a certain, like, minor percentage of money from, you know, fill in the blank here, whatever source, and gave it to one of those countries, it would effing cure them. Like, they would be cured from poverty. But we don't do that, even though there's churches and there's people that give to the bucket. That doesn't touch. It doesn't put a dent in the amount of money that's just thrown out of pockets toward a political party. And I think that's sick.
No,
you know?
No, yeah. The money that goes to the political party. But it's the money that goes to, boy, and I know that I know you guys are both sports fans, but this is going to be an example. People playing a game getting paid how frickin' much? What the hell is that? And think about this. All the money, first off, when I say all the money, not literally all the money, because when a city builds a new stadium, you know, the masses, whether sports fan or not, that surcharge that's applied to whatever, to your garbage bags, if you will, is going to be helping line their pockets under the guise of the greater good. But the that's disposable income largely for somebody to go buy those season seats.
Right.
And jerseys
and
whatnot. So, I wanted to kind of tie that in with your bit off the how much stuff goes to other countries.
Well,
and, you know, we've got I've seen these guys on the corner panhandling, gals too. I'm like, son of a bitch, those shoes cost more than mine.
And I can even piggyback off that. And I know it's steering the course in a little bit of a different direction, but I think that's kind of where we thought it might happen tonight anyway. But kind of exactly going off of what you said, Todd, I'll give a bit of a, you know, I was never active duty, anything like that. So I didn't serve OCONUS. I wasn't, I didn't have that kind of exposure. But I went to Costa Rica on a mission trip. I spent, I think it was a little over a week there. And it was a mission trip, so, you know, I didn't see any resorts. When I say Costa Rica, it's not like, ooh, we're going to go to Costa Rica and stay on the beach and drink, you know, mojitos or whatever. This was the garbage tail, you know, this was the armpit of Costa Rica, which is most of it, really. So we were there. There were cars getting broken into while we were there, crime, whatever. Very poverty country. We had a meal once outside, and, you know, we paid a pretty decent amount of money to go there, and it helped. We basically helped build houses for people without going too deep into it. Just it was the only time I can ever remember eating, and I saw children within 100 feet of me that were staring at me and, like, salivating because of the food. And it turned gears in my stomach that I didn't think it'd get turned. It was kind of depressing, and we ended up offering the food that we had. It might have been their only meal for the day, and that's not because their parents chose a lifestyle of drugs and whatever. It's because they live in a dirt-ass poor country, and they're doing the best they absolutely can. So I was there for a week, and literally the next week, like when I came back, and way before I had went, I was, you know, you plan out your summer or your fall, whatever. So you're like, oh, yeah, this is going to be cool. I'm looking forward to this. Yeah, I'm going to go to a football game. We had spent money on some tickets, so, you know, we were going to go to a football game. It happened to be the week after I got back. And Kim and I were downtown walking around, and it was like you said, Todd, it was just this floods of people that were just so casually walking. And it was just like such a mind blow to me, like where I had just been 2 days prior, you know, and saw the amount of poverty that people had, you know, there was nothing they could do about it. It was just geographically where they were born in this world. And I'm looking around and I see all the affluenzic, you know, habits, and it's like, my God, these people have zero idea what they have and what they're capable of getting. And it's kind of, I mean, it, you know, and again, I'm not trying to put, I was right there with them. I've got jerseys. I go to football games. I, you know, live in my conditioning and complain about
it. And just for the record, I do know that one of your sports memorabilia items is a hand-me-down, at least third hand. Just saying.
Sports item hand-me-down. I'm trying to think of which one you're talking about.
The neighbor gave me one, and I gave it to you. It was some Colts something or other, maybe a road something. I don't fucking know. It was some sort of Colts thing.
Now it's escaping me. I was thinking you were talking about a picture, something on the wall here, because I have a little Colts library, if you will. So. But, you know,
it was somebody, it was some, I don't know, it was almost like a Snuggie type thing or whatever, but the neighbor had given it to me when it was bitching about the winter, and then I gave it to you.
That's been a minute. It's been a hot minute.
Yeah, that was like 2018, maybe?
Yeah, I think so. That sounds right. But, you know, but that's a perfect example. I'm no different. And it's just kind of weird how sometimes I catch myself step back and thinking about things like that, and it's like, wow, man, I think we're kind of disappointing somebody upstairs. But the politics just puts the nail in the coffin.
Yeah, well, think about it. We got people don't blink an eye. There's a lot of people don't blink an eye about paying way too much for a coffee. And I'll admit, I'm a coffee snob in the sense of I'm a simple black coffee person. I like it a little bit on the stronger side, that kind of thing. But they'll go and they'll pay, whether it's a big chain like Starbucks or these independent clone chains that are doing it, or even just independent shops that are not chains, and they'll pay it. And the one day I forgot to bring in my own coffee, I went to Dollar General, and I got a big old cup of fresh ground coffee at a quarter of the price of Starbucks. That's crazy.
I don't even like Starbucks coffee.
I don't even drink coffee.
Yeah, but you're nothing. You know what? I'll be nice and not talk smack about you not drinking coffee.
You know me, I was always a Sun Drop Mountain Dew guy, you know? Yeah, coffee thing wore off. After I got out of high school, the coffee drinking stopped. My guts couldn't take it anymore. I'd drink it, and it'd either say 2X to everybody else, and I'd either be sitting on it or standing over it. So, I had to give coffee up years ago. Never returned. Tim was talking about Costa Rica. It's exactly what I'm getting at. Those people out there have been conditioned from birth not to expect anything more than what they have. They are not, you know, the reason why they don't revolt, the reason why they don't attack, the reason why they don't go totally batshit is the fact that from birth, they have been conditioned just to accept the shit conditions that they have. And that is where I'm wondering, is if our politicians are trying to get, they won't never do it to our generation, of course, and the boomers are totally out of the question. But, you know, if you think about it, they are trying to get it to the point where you don't expect nothing out of life. You just get up, you go to work, you come home, and you do it again the next day. And, you know, Tim's story is exactly what I'm getting at when it comes down to that kind of. So when it comes down to the politicians, and here's a good example. What I was going to, you know, I'll use Tim's treehouse for an example. All right. So, yeah, you've got Tim and Todd both in the treehouse, right? And
where's that story going?
Damn right. Keep your hands to yourself, young man. So Todd says, I want to paint.
We're keeping watch for Velvet green. Is what we're doing.
Don't tell Velvet, by the way.
And Tim says, well, I want to paint the treehouse red. And for a week, 2 weeks, a month, every day I walk by that tree, I hear Tim saying, I want to paint it red. I hear Todd saying, I want to paint it green. Okay? So I stop by Lowe's, and I grab a can of green and a can of red paint, and I walk up to the treehouse, and I go, hey, guys, I got a can of each color. Can I come up and, you know, paint with you guys? And the two of y'all look at one another, and then you look down at me and go, we ain't painting this shit. And that is exactly what the elites are doing. The people down here on the ground, they don't want us to excel. They want us to dumb ourselves down to a point to where we just don't expect anything. And that's how revolutions start, folks. If you look at the French Revolution, if you look at the damn Russian Revolution, well, they didn't have a revolution, so to speak, but they did have a coming to Jesus. But, you know, the American Revolution, for crying out loud, for all the stuff that King George was passing down, and, you know, these colonists are over here getting their asses kicked, and King George is over there living. I don't even think King George ever stepped foot on American soil, did he?
I don't believe so.
So, you know, that's the point I'm trying to make when it comes down to this stuff. And if they control everything, then by accident, over time, people will learn to expect to get just that. In the meantime, they're all sitting up, you know, and that's the thing. If we ever went to socialism in this country, do you honestly think that Nancy Pelosi would be living in a single wide? Hell no, she'd still be living in her house, and she'd still have money, because Christ knows she ain't got, you know, what's the thing now that Biden put out there where if you got more than $600 in your account, it has to go to the damn IRS or whatever? That ain't even rent money, for Christ's sake. So they're trying to keep track on every damn dime you've got, and you can't even have money in your account to pay the light bill or pay your rent without them knowing about it. And
It's freaking hilarious. Yeah, they want to – yeah, it's just – there's such an overreach on so many levels, and there's a million things. You think that if the so-called guise of safety for gun control stuff. No, it goes way bigger than that.
Yes,
it's,
absolutely.
I mean, anybody with an IQ above 70, yes, I said 70. I did say 80. Anybody with an IQ above 70 just has to look at who legally owns stuff, how many are legally owned, how many of those are used in crime, use that as a raw percentage. How many that are illegally owned, how many illegally owned are used for crimes, and how many of those go for a percentage? So I think that narrows down your target audience. Just
right.
Saying.
Again, yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
Yes, again.
Have you heard?
Sub 80 IQ.
Well, the latest out there is that they actually are hitting up gun supply annexes, vendors, whatever you want to call them. So, in other words, you got like Dave's Outdoor Outfitters, right? Instead of them going in there and asking, who bought the gun? You know, out of all your clientele, who has bought pistols in the last 30 days? They know that that gets pushback now. So now what they're doing is they're trying to gather information on who bought holsters or who bought scopes. No shit. I mean, because who would buy a scope if you didn't have a rifle? Right? So if I walk up to you and say, well, do you own a firearm? You immediately go into defensive mode because it's a hot button thing. But if somebody comes up and goes, hey, you own a scope? Yeah, as a matter of fact, I got a scope. And guess what? Now I know you have a firearm. So again, the government is taking note of all this stuff because they know they've got to add all this stuff up, because when the shit hits the fan, they want to know what they're up against. Now, when it comes down to a civil war, I don't see a civil war happening in this country. And in the event that it does, I think I said it on here a couple of weeks back that there's one side that's sitting on about 8 billion rounds of ammunition, and then the other side is trying to damn decide which bathroom to use. So, you know, that won't be long.
Oh, yeah, that was a couple administrations ago where the massive ammo buy-up happened.
Yeah. Yeah. That's another
but
thing you're
whatever.
Buying up.
The, all right, so kind of want to steer away from this ship because just because the all right, the I want to say mention something for those that got Dave on Facebook. He always posts a bunch of memes. Generally speaking, because of my job, I can't. It would not behoove of me to post much of what I have, so I have to kind of keep most of myself quiet. But God, Dave, you have some good memes. That whole thing, I stole one of them earlier, something from the last few days, and I threw it into a group chat, and it started all kinds of tangents. It was funny, the whole guess his nickname or whatever it was. The bald head dude.
Yeah. Wait to guess his name, yeah.
Yeah.
That poor guy.
That was that led into such a fun tangent. That led into a whole separate group chat. The you know, the some of the folks and things like that. The so you know, I got people and I almost bet Tim could guess who this is. I took one, I don't know if y'all saw it. I sent one. I found this one of what the hell you call them? The ones that pull all the crap from the porta potties, and it was had painted it up as a stool bus. Yeah, because I had posted it. The stool bus. So I took that one, and I took the one you had posted about guess his name. And I sent both of those to somebody, and his only responses were, both have been forwarded. That was just shameless. Just own that stuff, man. Just both have been forwarded.
Yeah, I got
say,
one from
Tim, any
Mike
guesses?
Murphy.
I do. I won't say it out loud. I definitely have a guess.
I know there's got to be a code you can use. I don't know. Initial something.
Let's say it's on the 20. This be on the 22nd floor. I'll start there.
No.
Oh, really?
No, Kansas City.
Oh yeah, I think I'm tracking. Yeah. The one who had a joint. The one who had a joint. We'll say project with me. Right? Not a joint project, but we had a couple of projects that went along the same path.
Same path, yeah. The
cross-application stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Tracking.
Exactly. Tim knows. It's just, but I like how quick you want to immediately blame somebody else because we work with some people. Like the one guy warned me. He's like, dude, this is the phone I'm issued, so be careful what you send me. You could have told me before you gave me your number when you knew I was going to send memes.
Yeah, so now, my brother runs into the same thing. I had sent something to my brother that was pretty off color, and he sent one back on a different number. And he goes, hey, man, just a heads up, that was my company number. He says, henceforth, any wise-ass memes need to come to this number, if you don't mind. duly noted. Henceforth.
Oh. So, about that.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, my God. What a blackmail move.
I got a...
What a blackmail move that could be.
A funny little story. Back when I was... This is quite a few years ago because I wasn't even at the current home, my current house. But, you know, I'll just say his name. I don't care. Derek. Well, he gave me a ride the other day, Todd. All right, so...
Yeah.
So we worked...
Hold on. Derek, thank you, dude. You sure as shit did not have to do that. Thanks much, man. You know what? Didn't want gas money. Didn't want to stop at a gas station, top off. Didn't want to stop and grab food. Nothing. He just...
Yeah, and he was...
Kindness
he was
of his heart and was definitely...
Yeah, he's a good guy. So we used to work a little bit because we were both in programming. So we used to work sometimes. Our paths would cross, you know, talking various issues or whatnot. So he had my number, and we would mess with each other sometimes on it wasn't Teams then. It was some other communicator device, whatever. But regardless.
God, what the hell was that called?
Regardless.
Just go on, because we don't need that to answer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I already moved on. There's a delay, I think, because I had already moved on. So anyway, I'm in my car, and Kim's wife is next to me, and we're getting ready to drive somewhere, and I get a text on my phone, and it says, "Hey, boo." And Kim looks at it as she always kind of glances to see what text is incoming on my phone so she can tell me since I'm usually driving or whatever. And she's like, because I didn't have Derek Wilson saved in my phone. It was just a random number, and it came across and said, "Hey, boo." And she said, "Who the hell is texting you, hey, boo?" And I had to
that
say,
is
that
friggin'
was Derek
great.
From Rick. It was kind of like the Dave from State Farm. Oh, really? What are you wearing, Dave from State Farm? It's very closely related to that. She didn't have any interaction with him, but I was sitting there explaining. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm seriously sitting here explaining who Derek from TSO is. But yeah, there was that, and
yeah, Jay from State. That is friggin' great. That was, by the way, that was a really good commercial.
Yeah,
that was so
when
funny.
It first aired, yes.
It was. I mean, it's still legit because the guy on the other end of the phone, the State Farm agent had to be like, "Wait, what?" You can just, you know, the thing is, I got to wonder if something in real life inspired that.
Have to have. I could definitely
see
it.
Oh, my God. All right.
Well,
yeah, real life weirdness.
The original posting of that was hysterical. They've tried to do a couple of follow-ups, and it's like, yeah, okay, it's funny, but it was really funny back when this crap first happened. Then it was pretty good.
The original format commercial, sure. All the imagine that, sequels failing.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
Kind of funny. You know what? Something came up. I just connected dots on speaking of disposable income stupidity. All three of us are family people. I know we all have board games in the house and have done various ones. Dude, you talk about disposable income. How the heck are there that many versions of Monopoly?
So,
and it's not meant to necessarily pick on Monopoly. It's just... a really good example of what fresh kind of hell is this? Because in my mind, there's nothing wrong with the original. I get it's old school and archaic or whatever. I mean, I'm the same guy that's got a game of, I think, Risk with the old wooden pegs.
Oh, wow.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, not the plastic ones, the wooden pegs. The, pieces, whatever you want to call them.
So, Todd,
you're
how
kidding
tall
me,
was
right?
Vince in real life?
Say again?
I said, how tall was Ben Franklin in real life?
he was shocking. The
all right, good one.
The and for those that actually don't remember, you know what? People talk about wanting to do the base language for the country. He's an example of somebody, ambassador to France, and why, given the way the world events were at the time, remember that France and England were anything but allies back then. In fact, frankly, just for the record, the only reason the English didn't come down and kick our ass earlier in the War of 1812 was because they were tied up battling France. But these were people that spoke multiple languages, our founding fathers, Latin and whatnot. Yeah, but Ben was one of those guys. It was a bit of a Mac Daddy, so I'll give him his props. But yes, and yet they still picked a language, a singular language to write our founding documents in. Just a thought.
You know, if you read a lot of Thomas Jefferson stuff that he wrote, it is all falling into place right now as we speak. It's amazing how that guy had the force. I mean, when just everything from, you know, the ideal of having two-party political system and, you know, having the checks and balances and all that kind of nifty stuff. If you read about it, man, it's like, wow, this is genius stuff these guys were writing down. And, you know, this was all before they found the first dinosaur bone, for crying out loud. So, I mean, it's
don't know, strictly speaking, about that as far as they found the first dinosaur bone, because thought is the myth of the Cyclops came from the possible finding of a mastodon skull with
that large hole. Yeah.
Yeah, just saying. And okay, tangent, ready?
Got it.
It's interesting how over the millennia we found so much truth, history, and it might have been, how do you want to say it, story perspectives or whatever, weren't strictly done documentary, if you will. But the whole story about Troy,
oh yeah,
you know, that was all part of myth. Well, Troy was real shit. It freaking happened. Now, was it his old boy wrote it? Not exactly. But it was all based on fact. And there's so much myth. We found out that some of that stuff has happened. So it's always, the more we learn that stuff, the more I look at some of the different so-called myth stuff and just really wonder, like, how are variations of the Noah story all over the friggin' place?
Yeah.
Now, mind you, there's some perspectives that'll tell you some of the things that are biblical. OT, early OT, Old Testament, for those not tracking, were based on regional mythologies and influence of folks there that were writing. But there is still some stuff. How is variations of the Noah story so widespread? It's just peculiar. That's a really big coincidence. Just
yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot of stuff out there. I mean, there's stuff they're digging up right now in Egypt that's kind of every day realigning what the expectation was. You know what I mean? 100 years ago, or probably, what was it, 100 years ago, when they found King Tut, his tomb, you know, they thought they had it all figured out. Now here we are 100 years later, and they're still pulling stuff up, and they're like, damn, okay, well, we were wrong about X, we were wrong about Y.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of stuff out there we don't know at all. And,
yeah, so much stuff, like the water erosion on the Sphinx, the theory that the headpiece portion of it had somehow gotten recarved, just stuff going on. It just, wait, what?
I mean,
Egypt alone, I can see people dedicating their lives to that stuff. Because there were pharaohs that they made efforts to eradicate stuff. And the timeline stuff with the things there, like they're saying based on the water erosion and all that, some of the stuff about the Sphinx may be centuries older, like many. That's, you know. You throw another 1,000 years on something, it kind of shifts timelines. It's a trip. I don't know. I mean, things are a trip. It's like stuff happened all at once in history. You stop and you think who did the kineogram stuff? Help me out, guys.
The first
language that we know of. The little clay tablets where they poked the styluses in them for the written language.
Yeah. That was Egyptian, wasn't it? Or was that Sumerian?
No, hell no. That's Sumerian. There we go. Well before Egyptian. And it was just the odds and ends pieces with that, because it was like it almost sprang from nowhere. And some of their mythology is pretty interesting. Like those are in their mythology, it may have the original reference to Planet X. How freaking crazy is that?
Yeah, and you know the funny thing is, being on politics, there is even actually written evidence in Egyptian history, ancient Egyptian history, where pharaohs were trying to erase other pharaohs' memories.
Oh yeah.
You know, so you know, the council culture thing was floating around 4,000 years ago when these guys
well played. What a great tie-in. Props on that shit. Because I talk exactly about that and did connect the dots. Well played. No shit.
Yo, because they were out there trying to piss on one another's memory, because every one of them thought that they were the next step up. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, it's crazy when you look at it. I guess
what
the American liberal
right.
didn't invent that shit.
Yeah. Okay. Straight up, you're spot on. Okay, so this kind of half-ass twist the Egyptian into something else. You ready for it? Ready? We know how the pyramid building concept in Egypt, we won't even talk about how there's variations of pyramids all over the friggin' planet, mind-boggling. I mean, Egypt isn't the only part of the African continent with that stuff. And if you stop and think about certain things in other places all over, aside from the obvious with the Mayans. There's stuff all over. Okay, so there's a myriad of baselines, why, how and why, the pyramids, and, you know, you can get really crazy with some of this stuff. But generally speaking, it sure looks like this guy tried to outdo the previous guy, tried to outdo the previous guy, and so on and so forth, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I wonder about all the hedges in England where Stonehenge, like, basically outdid some of the other ones. Because there are a ton of hedges over there. Hedges.
Yeah.
And I feel like, gee, ego is nothing new.
No. No. The thing that's odd about Stonehenge, though, is that the limestone...
Uh-oh.
The limestone that it's made out of?
Yes, the source.
Yeah, it's not so much the engineering behind it. You know, yeah, the big question is how the hell they stacked
that
stuff
too.
Like that. But where the limestone is that they got to build it is, what is it, you know, thousands of miles away? The nearest source of it?
I don't know, strictly speaking, thousands, but many, many hundreds at a minimum.
Yeah.
Just saying. And I like how there are ties in to the Arthurian legends with that, where some of the stories are like Merlin levitated that crap from the source.
Yeah.
And all I could think of is the various anybody that's ever helped somebody move furniture and all this kind of stuff. We know how that kind of work is, moving stuff from one place to another. Could you imagine, magic or not, levitating them, but you've got to move how many of these giant friggin' chunks of limestone? So you can only get so far away, and you're going to move them. How far are you going to walk moving one, two, or however many you can move at a time with your magic? And then you got to get back to where you were, move them again, move the next batch, and so on and so forth. It just one way or the other. Even with magic, the labor level is mind-boggling.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy when you stop about it, man. It's what's the heads on Easter Island? You know, you see the heads,
yes.
But then when they go, you know, they actually got bodies and shit. These things are under,
yeah,
you know,
they excavate them and they find out how freaking massive they are.
Yeah, you know, and that's out
there
on an island.
Yeah. It's in that weird space between places, isn't it?
Yeah. And there ain't jack shit out there. When it comes down to saying, hey, well, you know, they got the limestone from France and they just humped it across the English Channel. Easter Island's out in the middle of damn nowhere. So how in the hell, you know... And not to mention, you know, they talk about, like, the, I know I've read many times in the past about the Sphinx things where they built, in other words, they built part of it and then packed sand around the outside of it to elevate the workforce. And then they built another layer of it. And then they
yeah.
put more sand. Okay. But when it comes down to Easter Island, there's no earth to move there. The place ain't big enough to dig. And when it comes down to the water table, how in the hell did they dig that deep? You know, how? And the thing of it is that not only are the faces carved out but they actually have bodies that are below ground when they excavated everything. So it ain't like somebody just took a big, long rock and saw it and goes, hey, you know what, I'm going to chisel a face in that sumbitch. How they were able to get that far down into the ground on a remote island without the water table. I mean, here in North Carolina, nobody has basements. You all know why nobody has basements in North Carolina?
Very few on the East Coast. Very few on the coast.
Because
Let me screw with you. Off of Gum Branch, there's a library.
Yeah, on Doris.
Okay, yes. There's a house right in that area that definitely has a basement, but it just happens to be in this weird little elevated spot, and it's got a ravine running behind it. And we know Swansboro's got some odds in and stuff because they got some hills.
Right.
But they are the exception and not the rule. It's crazy. I grew up, everybody had a basement. It was the reverse. If they didn't have a basement, it was odd.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And, you know, with those exceptions, it's almost like a split level more than it is a basement, so to speak.
Many cases, yes.
Yeah. So going back to the Easter Island thing, they ain't no different than we are. You start digging and the water starts rushing in. How in the hell did they get that deep? You know,
Well, that's part of all the craziness of the different things. You know, there are so many things I didn't even get to tonight. Like, we started with the politics. I wanted to bring in the Bilderberg Group. I wanted to bring in the Bohemian Grove and stuff like that. The stuff happens. Bilderberg Group, I actually got parts of some meeting minutes from somewhere. I'll leave it alone. I got that. The Easter Island, sculptures. Kim, when'd you first learn about those? Please don't say tonight.
Please don't say what?
The sculptures on Easter Island.
Well, oddly enough, Todd, I had actually pulled up. I had done a quick Google search as I sit here. I'm trying to be as technologically advanced, you know, kind of like with those on the radio show with their computers right in front of them so they can rattle off stuff at the, you know, drop of a dime. I'm probably going to disappoint you, Todd. I don't have much. I just know it's one of those mysterious wonders, you know, and I'm,
right,
and I'm reading.
Roughly, when did you first learn of them?
Oh, when did I first learn of them?
Yeah.
God, wasn't there a movie that kind of tied on it that was done back in the 80s?
Well, there was one before that. I was wondering if you were going to reference that.
But I can't freaking think of the damn name.
I was waiting for it. Okay, I'm going to shift this way. Dave, you?
I remember seeing about it when I was a kid in a National Geographic. Remember that old magazine?
Okay. I do. Okay.
Okay.
I was waiting for one of you to reference Godzilla vs. Megalon, but okay.
No, I don't think I would have picked up on that. No, I can't remember what I'm thinking of. I know I saw. I agree with Dave. I remember seeing them in that, like, one of those National Geographic series. We used to see commercials for that stuff all the time, and I think it was probably somewhere in there I saw that. But I feel like there was a movie back in the 80s that somehow they kind of tied into it.
Well, Godzilla vs. Megalon did, and it was before. That was older. Oh, man, so now I'm going to look up the year for that one. Oh, good grief.
So in the event that anybody spends their weekend looking up stuff about Easter Island, let me apologize in advance.
73.
Oh, really?
73.
Well, that ain't that far out. It might be a little far out for Tim, but I'm... Remember, what is...
You know what? It kind of, sort of, in a way, it was fairly cutting edge, if you... Really?
Yeah. Hey, you know, speaking of old movies, I meant to bring this up. You know, we were talking about the mob movies a couple weeks back. And, of course, we lost Paul Sorvino since then. But you guys remember I brought up an actor named David Warner. And David Warner played the bad guy in every 80s movie if Rutger Hauer didn't do it. And bigger than anything, he just passed on. David Warner passed on this week. Now, the David Warner movie to watch, and it's a little dated now, but it's still good, it had Malcolm McDowell, and it had Mary Steenburgen in it. I think it came out in 1979, and it was a movie called Time After Time. And it was about...
Yeah, I remember the movie name.
Yeah, H.G. Wells built the time machine, and Jack the Ripper got hold of it and went to modern-day America. And it's effectively
an ongoing chase.
There you go. And David Warner played Jack the Ripper, and Malcolm McDowell played H.G. Wells. And Mary Steenburgen played the girl who, quote-unquote, hooked up with H.G. Wells when, you know, because what he did is he had the chase. He found out that Jack had gotten hold of his time device, so he immediately fast-forwarded to 1978-79, whenever the hell that movie came out, and chased down Jack the Ripper, because Jack the Ripper was going around doing his thing in modern-day America. And damn good flick. I haven't watched it in years, but I remember, I mean, it was one of those movies that I watched. Shit, I was probably 12, 13 years old, didn't really need to be watching a movie with that kind of an intense plot. Nevertheless, watched it and was just totally fascinated with the whole H.G. Wells thing, and I went off on this whole H.G. Wells reading spree where I read just about everything the man wrote. And but yeah, it was odd that the gentleman had passed on this week after we had just got done talking about him and everything. So last time I saw him, he was the one that played Billy Zane's bodyguard on the Titanic.
That's good shit. You referenced Rutger Hauer, his best bad guy role. He had more than one easily.
God. Well, I'm going to tell you this one. Despite me being a Blade Runner fan, if you want to talk about pucker factor, I would say the original Hitchhiker, or the original Hitcher.
The Hitcher,
the one with Thomas Powell.
Yes, I'll give it to that, because he had so many good roles. He was so good.
Yeah.
What was it? He was, whether you're talking Nighthawks or, again, Blade Runner, what a great villain.
Yeah. Yeah, Blade Runner was excellent.
The Hitcher, Tim, what are you thinking? Aside from who's Rutger Hauer?
You caught me reading. You're going to have to repeat the conversation. You're like basically like my boss ripping me a new a-hole because I'm trying to multitask. I was still trying to read here about all the folks that they're trying to figure out still and can't answer the questions about exactly where the folks that inhabited Easter Island, where they came from. So there's still arguing over
with Jim still on that. We're on Rutger Hauer, his best villain role.
I can't help it.
Dave, yeah, help me out of here and run through them. The, what the hell was it, Nighthawks?
Yeah, that was the one with Billy Dee Williams and Sylvester Stallone.
Yep.
Oh, God.
See. Well, oh, man, he had some great hero roles, too. He had one of the worst soundtrack great hero roles movies with Lady Hawk.
Yeah,
I loved his character in that flick. The story was really good. The soundtrack fucking crushed that movie. Just fouled it. Nighthawks, The Hitcher. He did a vampire somewhere down the line.
I'm trying to think of the name of it. It ain't the John Carpenter's one. Well, maybe that is the one. John Carpenter's Vampires?
Maybe. The, God, Rutger Hauer. He,
Hitcher, the thing that made The Hitcher vampire. So scary, and you got to remember, the time is 1985, 86, when that movie came out. It's a lot like The Terminator when it came out, is that there wasn't any movies like that. And C. Thomas Howell at the time, you want to talk about good casting. C. Thomas Howell was like the all-American guy at the time. He was in everything. He was in Red Dawn. He was in The Outsiders. You know, C. Thomas Howell was just that good old American, you know, apple pie, takes care of his mom type kid. So he's in this movie, and all he's trying to do is drive this car to another part and drop it off for the owner. That was what his job was, to drive the car across country or whatever it was. And it kind of sort of took a page out of that movie Duel that Spielberg put out years and years prior to that. But it made it more
early short story from him that did all the horror stuff.
Yeah, I can't remember who it
is. King. I think that's a King story.
Oh, really? Because I remember Dennis Weaver was in it. But
yep.
The thing was with Rutger Hauer is just there was no escaping. C. Thomas Howell gets to the police station. You're like, okay, he's good now. Next thing you know, all the cops are dead. And you're going, holy shit, man. You know, C. Thomas Howell ain't going to make it. And it was just one of the, up to the very last second of that movie, you were just, and you like I said, you got to remember.
Let's go with, that was pre-show Max Gore.
Yeah.
There was a lot of the crap out that was showing some of the gore then. And they deliberately ducked it. But when he had old girl between the trailer, the tractor trailer, between the trailer portion and truck, and he had her tied between there, and that scene, dude, that was so freaking intense. And they didn't have to show it to tell you what happened.
Yeah. Because that was Jennifer Jason Leigh that was in that, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah, because she was another one that was in. She was in everything in the 80s. She was in Ridgemont. She was in Easy Money. She was in a bunch of shit back in the 80s.
All right, so I can engage back in the conversation. I'm going to give my 2 cents on Terminator. And you said that it was kind of like, you know, nothing of it. Nothing like it at the time, but I will tell you where we've come a long way is the special effects. If you can remember, talking about gory scenes. Remember when the Terminator, he's kind of got to do some repair work, you know, if you will, because he's been in battle. It's time for him to go and try to heal his wounds, what, you know, and whatnot. And it shows him, and he takes his eyeball out.
Yeah.
And if you look at his head, it's like, gee, is that really his head? Like, no, you can clearly tell. I mean, it was one of the worst, like, wax jobs or whatever the hell they had, some kind of mannequin that was doing it. But it works for the time, you know, and I mean, just you were trained to go along with it, so it was no big deal.
Oh, we could do another show, Tim, thank you, on the level of effects from movies through the years and whatnot.
You know, Psycho.
I'm just going to say Lon Chaney.
Well, I'll go with Planet of the Apes.
Boris Karloff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff that has, but then again, some of the special effects thing, going, you know, take for instance, like Planet of the Apes, where they didn't fall back. All of them were practical effects. None of them were CGI'd. And
yep.
How much more you kind of get out of it when it's that raw. And, you know, because if you look at Planet of the Apes, the only bad effect that movie had, well, I shouldn't say that. The first 5 minutes of it with the whole rocket ship in the pond thing, that was a little hokey. And the very end, the shocking ending there, of course, I'm not going to spoil it for everybody, even though it's a 50-some-odd-year-old movie. That was a little – but it was, you know, the everybody who played an ape or everybody who played a human, I mean, that movie's pretty intense, man, when you're – especially when you're a kid and you watch that shit, you're going – damn, man. You go to the zoo and you see a monkey and you're like, all right, bitch. Hey, yeah, you just stay your ass over there, boy. We ain't having all that.
Yep. Hey, Tim, I'm tracking and thinking the same thing. Team, we are at the edge of the line and we are.
Yeah, man.
God. We, look. Thank you for dealing with the tangential night, and I feel like we're just getting on a roll and we're random, and God, thank you. Good conversation, Pete.
Yeah.
Well, maybe next week we can go ahead and do the effects thing. Why not? That keeps us from having to do last-minute planning. So next week's episode will be about good, bad, and in-between effects in movies. Sound good?
Movies, video games, you name it.
And I think if we can piggyback off of it and give hints or behind-the-scenes info on some of the special effects that they resorted to back, like I had said, we'll recap again with Psycho. They used chocolate syrup for the blood. Help brought out, made it appear a little bit better.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was in the only time syrup was used. Syrup was used as oil and oh, shit, one of the, there's been action movies, some of the effect stuff that they use, just the alternate stuff. It was a transporter. Just stuff like that, just cool shit. All right, we got a ton of shit going on. All right, so we're closing round. I know, Dave, I'm doing some of your stuff here. Damn.
No, that's fine, man. And I appreciate it. As tired as I am, I do appreciate it. Trust me.
I don't have much other than, you know, the old dad routine that I always give. I'm not doing any other shows. I'm not doing any other wild trips, vacations all out of the way. I do have, you know, the kids are starting to go back to school, so I always feel bad for them. I'm kind of a softy at heart, and yeah, although it'll be kind of nice to have them back on their bed routine, because this is about the time when I actually hear them stirring out there as we speak. Usually this is the time that I kind of have to myself, just, you know, reflect upon the day, do whatever, just kind of relax a little bit before I hit the hay. But nonetheless, they're going to be starting school. We're going to do an open house tomorrow for Tanner, starting at the intermediate school. Got that. Just continuing all the projects around the house. Busy at work. That's all. So everybody, have a great week. Love the talks tonight. We'll continue it again next week.
Hell yeah, man. Well, it was good to have you aboard this evening. Tell everybody out there we said hello and good luck with the upcoming school year. I'm so glad I'm out of that business.
Oh, yeah.
I tell you.
I can't wait.
I'm laughing about 10 minutes quiet time because my post tonight on Facebook was I sat quality with my own thoughts today. Remind me to never do that again.
I've always said that the most cherished moments you'll have with your children is when they get off of formula, when they get out of diapers, when they get out of daycare, and when they graduate school. Now you can actually start having some fun with your children. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, between the financial aspect of it and just the agony, because I don't know about you all, but I know Rob, you change a diaper on that fool, he'd shit right in that diaper 30 seconds later. It's like, dude, man, why don't you just take a dump in the diaper you had on? Put it, you know how much these things cost? Come on, man, you know?
True story. We were in, Gary was born in Okinawa, so we were at mother-in-law's classic Japanese apartment, and the bathroom is like nothing you guys can imagine. Open concrete floor, sink, toilet. If you're lucky, you got a shower curtain between the shower area, and your washer is probably in there. And they don't think our washers think just ultra mini narrow. It's just, it's odd, whole different world. And they had just given Gary in the bath. And they were picking him up, getting ready to put a diaper on. And that boy torpedo fired from and blew up the mother-in-law, blew her up. She was like, all the kids I've raised, all the grandkids I've raised, all the kids I've watched, nobody has ever done it to me. And it was so funny because he cocked a leg, it moved, he fired around, it cocked another leg, he moved and fired around, and it splattered. Just brutal. And it was just like, yeah, we're all leaving this area shortly. But, hey, at least he did it before the diaper got on.
That's right.
Just saying. That being said, I'm going to do my bit here. Look. All my love to my family. Thank you for the patience, for the, what we do with day by day, our living situation. Everybody out there, big hugs. Take care of yourselves. Take care of your family. Take care of one another. Diamond Dave, yours.
Absolutely. I appreciate you guys joining us this evening and holding the brother up because I am pooped. But nevertheless, speaking on that.
Death howls at the McCurran.
Yes. Yeah. Everything falls back to poop eventually, right? As tired as I am, I got to tell you, I spent 37 years hustling retail and grocery in many different forms. Now I am 52 years old, and I'm pressure washing in 110-degree heat. I got to tell you, it's amazing, despite how tired or sunburnt or dehydrated I get, that knowing that my hard work and knowing that the heartache and the stiff muscles and the sunburn and everything else is making myself famous instead of somebody else. So basically what I'm saying is if you've got something out there, if you've got any type of desire or talent or a special, you know, something you enjoy doing, and you can make money doing it, by God, go do it. Because this is the only country in the world you can make your mind up to do that with. Yeah, for now. Yeah, exactly. Going back to what our earlier topic was. But I'm going to tell you something. Working for the man, keeping your lights on, that's fine. And you got to manage your finances. I totally get that. But whatever you do, don't piss away the you on somebody else is what I'm getting at. Dare to dream. Don't be scared to getting out there. If you've got something particular you're good at or you enjoy doing, invest in yourself. And don't just go in there, punch a clock, make the bare minimum, and watch somebody else have a three-story house while you're sitting inside a single-wide Fleetwood. Not there's anything wrong with a trailer, just saying. But don't be afraid
Dave will tell you, he watched me for many years submitting resumes. And when I got my chance, I walked the hell away from that. I did what I could to support the family, do what I could, you know, make stuff happen. Just because you feel stuck don't mean you quit trying.
Exactly. So invest in yourself, man, because eventually it's going to come around, but it's not going to happen through osmosis. You've got to be the guy that pushes the wheel. So, tomorrow morning I will get up and it'll be just as hot, and I will have to do tomorrow what I did today. But the good news today is that I pushed that 60% thing where I could have shut it off at 50%, but I said, no, I'm going to do 60%. And by taking that extra little stride, I'm going to make tomorrow easier. And, without going into the gory details of the money and everything, I have made in the last 3 weeks working out in this heat what would have taken me, gosh, 6-7 weeks. Working for the man with a 200-man staff and a 155,000-square-foot building to run. So you do the math. But like I said, don't be scared to dream, and don't be scared to invest in yourself, because everybody kicks ass, be it one way or another. So be that as it may, I am going to shuffle my fat ass back into the and get through that janky sliding door. Had to put a new handle.
What's funny is at least coming in this time, when you went out to start the show, I could hear the dogs. This time, nope. I'm guessing they're all sacked out on the bed already.
Yeah,
good,
they're all laying
on my space.
Uh-huh. It's going to be them ass Tetris in the bed, I can already tell you. So, okay, here we go. I have no internet, so bear with me as I fix this janky ass.
No internet.
Spectrum, it's Spectrum internet, man. Jesus Christ, dude. That stuff just...
That's the thing about the cable supporter. You know what? The various... Yeah. Cable freaking owns areas. It just sucks.
Yeah. I mean, because
if five companies could own the same lines, I guarantee everybody would step up their game.
Oh, yeah. It'd be totally different. Totally different. But when they're the only game in town, you know, it's how it rolls. So, there we go. I got internet back. So, with all that being said, damn, I just went out again. Well, I'm going to try to click out here anyway. But anyhow, appreciate you.
Where's that
everybody
British
there.
Lady?
I'm going to see if I can click her in with no internet. See if she'll do it. Okay, it ain't looking good right now, so let me keep working at it here and try to get this internet back up.
As the show always is, real world people.
Yeah. This is a pisser right here.
Not to be confused with the urinal.
All right, let's see if it'll pop.
Hey, Tim, I don't know if you ever noticed, but speaking of the urinals in our building, I'm just going to say my boss's family name. Well, I won't say it's my boss's family name, but I'll just say if you look at the urinal, that's hilarious.
Yep, already noted that. Yes, sir.
So when he retires, so to speak, leaving his mark.